Welcome to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. My name is Brandi Gilmore, and after recovering from my own life-changing injury, it's become my mission to share with others the same discoveries I made that changed my health and my entire life. Our minds are truly incredible. The placebo is proof of this. Each week, I will take this simple awareness to a whole new level. I will even coach live callers to free themselves of physical pain using only their mind. And then I'll provide you with a combination of practical and spiritual insights that you can use to master your mind, your emotions, and your energy to help you heal your health, yourself, and your life. Let's begin. Hello and welcome. It is so wonderful to connect with you. Welcome to this week's Quick IQ episode. And I have to say, you know, I just love that you are somebody who is here, who is continuing to look outside of the box for answers and lift your mind and energy and consciousness. And I love it. And I love that we get to connect in this way and that we're on this journey together of unfoldment. So I love that. And on today's episode, I'm going to take a question from a listener. Her name is Jamie. And she emailed in and she said, I have a question. It's not about health per se, but rather about happiness. So I'm not sure if it's a good question for the IQ segment or not, but I see so many people struggle with depression, myself included, so I thought this would be a good question to ask. My question is, what is the number one thing I need to know about happiness? It always feels elusive. I try to go do things that make me happy, and yet still I feel empty. I'm constantly looking and chasing this feeling of happiness, and yet it feels elusive or momentary at best. There must be something that I'm missing. I have been working on happiness now for over 17 years. I have been on medication. I go to therapy, yet it's just not working. I am wondering if it's genetic. My mother suffered from depression too. I don't expect that you can fix it like when you work with volunteers, but I figured I would ask just the number one thing I need to know, and maybe I can focus on that. Thank you. All right, so first off, I have so much compassion for you, Jamie. I get it. I've been there during my injury. My head was definitely not in a great space, and so I know how heavy that can feel, so I get it. And again, just I have so much compassion and also excitement to change it because I see people change it all of the time. So let's go ahead and dive into that part. You know, your specific question was, what is the number one thing I need to know about happiness? And the number one thing is that there really is more than just one thing. But if I was going to pick just one most important thing, I would say it's all about your mind programming. And of course, also your actions and your behavior can influence your happiness as well. But that, of course, goes back to mind programming as well, because everything that you do is programmed into your mind. So that's the simple answer. But let me go ahead and unpack this even further in a couple areas. So I do want to unpack the mind programming part a bit more and give you more specifics there. And also, something that you said in your question caught my attention that I really want to speak to as well. And it's this, you know, in your question, you mentioned that you've been trying to go do things to make you happy. And I see this all the time where people have this belief that says, you know, that to be happy, they need to purposely go find things that bring them joy. And sometimes this can work depending where you are in life, and other times this can really backfire. And the reason for that is because if you're feeling heavy or off in your energy in a big way, you know, you're just feeling depressed, then what can happen is that nothing feels really happy to do. Nothing feels joyful. You know, you got to try to hang out with people and you just feel like you don't really connect with them. You know, the easiest way to think about this is imagine if somebody went to their favorite destination, like they always wanted to go to Jamaica or Fiji or Hawaii or Europe or wherever it might be. And so they travel to this location, but something bad just happened right before that. You know, how do they typically feel? They're typically still going to feel really heavy. Or if they're walking around and they're feeling really guilty or like, you know, they did something wrong or different things like that, these emotions will bog down the entire experience. And so, unfortunately, what happens with a lot of people when they're working on trying to feel happy, they try to do these things that make them happy. And so they'll go take action. And what they do is they'll think about the things that they know that they've liked in the past. And then they'll go do these things. But in a lot of cases, it just doesn't feel the same. Like it doesn't feel that great or that happy, or it just, you know, isn't fun. And unfortunately, what happens in that situation is a lot of times people will start to link up in their mind that nothing is fun. So then it can make their depression worse, because then when they think about life and they think that nothing is fun and even the things they thought previously were fun are no longer fun, it really starts to create even more of a disconnect with life. And people can get to the point where they're really questioning their very existence because there's nothing that they enjoy about it. And so on that note, if you are somebody who has had that school of thought that says, oh, well, if I'm depressed, then I need to just go do something that I enjoy. And that's been your way of trying to make it better. And it's not working to at least help, then I would definitely recommend doing it a different way. And I would recommend it doing it a different way anyways. But just saying, you want to make sure to be acutely aware in this area, just because I have seen this school of thought backfire for so many people. And even in my own life, you know, when I was injured, I could have people that I love around and I didn't really feel connected. It didn't make me really feel happy. I mean, I love them and I know that I loved them, but it didn't really bring the level of happiness and joy and connection that I would have wanted. And now that I feel amazing, it's wonderful and easy to connect with people and it's fun and I can laugh and enjoy, you know, it's a completely different experience. And I don't even have to be doing anything. I mean, I could literally sit alone by myself in a room with nothing in it and feel euphoric and happy just because that's the way that I feel and that's what's programmed into my being. And so let's go ahead and talk about the mind programming part of it all and unpack that. You know, when it comes to happiness, there are several different factors to consider that really affect whether or not a person is happy. But as you asked, you know, what is the number one thing you need to know about happiness? I'm going to break it down to a few of the top things that you can focus on, because really it's about each person addressing what is going on in their mind. And so the first thing that I would look at has to do with the subconscious mind and how the mind is programmed just in general. And this part can feel really complex. I have seen people with amazing lives who are still feeling a sense of depression going on the inside. And there's a reason for that. And it has to do with what is programmed in the mind. And there are a lot of misconceptions about mind programming and how emotions work. For example, a lot of people think that if you get rid of negative emotions, that instantly you'll be happy and you'll feel so good. And that's not the case. You know, whatever is in your mind is in your mind because it's programmed. And, you know, that would be like saying as soon as you get rid of your refrigerator, there's automatically one that's going to jump right into its place. Now, obviously, that doesn't make much sense. Or another way to look at it would be to say, you know, if you stop speaking English, then suddenly you're going to be able to speak Japanese. Well, that doesn't make any sense. And so programming information into the mind is key. And unfortunately, a lot of people in our culture, when they're in a negative place, the primary things they'll do is they'll continuously talk about the negative and think about the negative. So it reinforces it into the subconscious mind. And then they'll try to go do something that makes them feel happy, but then they feel disconnected, which then backfires and makes them feel less accepted, connected, you know, in love with life. And so a lot of times this actually compounds the problem. And so instead, what you want to think about is making sure to program in the feeling of happiness. Now, I know that this is much easier said than done, but I know a lot of people don't even try that because they're so caught up in the old way of doing things. And so if I was going to say the number one thing is to start programming in the feeling of happiness, you know, to purposely get yourself to feel happy for no reason and every reason as much as you can. Now, what I would also do as far as programming is I would look at what else is off. And again, this is going to be different for everybody, but if there is something where you're feeling guilty or bad or you've had a lot of trauma in the past, then I'd strongly recommend making sure to get that out of your subconscious mind and make sure to simultaneously program in the positive. That is key. And so, unfortunately, what a lot of people do is when they're working on getting rid of the negative, they're just focused on the negative and focused on releasing and releasing. And they're trying to do that so much that they're not focusing and bringing in the positive. So in many cases, a person can start to feel worse. And so you just want to make sure to also program in those positive feelings as well. So that is key. And not only that, but making sure that when you do release negative emotions, that they're gone completely. And this is a major problem that I see when people are working with their mind, is a lot of people don't fully understand what it feels like to release the old. It's kind of like if you release something completely from your closet or your refrigerator, if you go look for that item in your refrigerator, it's gone. But unfortunately, what a lot of people do with past experiences in their mind is they just try to negate it or pretend like it's not there or kind of, you know, throw a Band-Aid on it, so to speak, which would be like if there was something bad in your refrigerator and it was gross and disgusting and you didn't like it there, and so you decided to put the almond milk right in front of it or a piece of lettuce right over it, you know? So it's like covering it up with, oh, it's okay, or I forgive, or whatnot. But when you really, really release something, it should be gone from your energy and gone from your emotions completely. And so that might be an area that you may want to look at as well. And I know this is general information because, again, it's different for everybody depending upon where you're at. So there's that. Now, another thing that can happen with the mind programming itself is there can be blocks at a deeper level. And if you are somebody who has been suffering from depression for a long period of time, then I would say chances are pretty strong that there's some type of counterintuitive programming that's going on in the subconscious mind. And the reason I say counterintuitive is because a lot of times it doesn't make logical sense, and you'll want to look for that. You know, I have worked with people before who felt like if they were happy, it would somehow ruin an area of their life. For example, I have worked with somebody who was very high up, so to speak, in the investment world, you know, just very well known and very connected. And inside, she was suffering from feelings of depression, and nobody really knew that that was going on. And when she reached out to me, it was something that had been just really bogging her down in a major way on the inside. And so I began working with her, and what we uncovered was that in her mind, she felt like if she was too happy, that people would not take her seriously. I mean, she was already a quote-unquote woman in a man's world, so to speak. And so she was already just feeling like she needed to do everything she could do to maintain a level of respect. And so to her, if she was really happy, then she thought people would think that she was irresponsible and carefree and not serious about the position. And so that was something that was going on in her subconscious mind. And I'll see programming show up in a variety of different ways. Or another situation, and you may have heard me mention this before in a past episode, is a young man that I worked with who was extremely depressed. And as I began working with him, what I found in his subconscious mind was that he had it linked up that if he was really happy, he could die. And that is because he had this experience as a young kid where he was waiting at the bus stop and he was playing around and doing things. And his mom quickly kind of snatched him up and said, "Hey, stop playing around. You're going to get hit by the bus." And so he linked up, if he's too happy and playful, he could get hit. Like, it was just unsafe. So he had to stay on alert the whole time. And that was the programming in his subconscious mind. And so it literally wouldn't allow him to be happy and relaxed because it didn't feel safe. Then he would do something, quote unquote, stupid or make a mistake or get hit by a bus or something like that. And that was linked up from a young age. And so you can see that mind programming can be very counterintuitive. But even in this situation, I'd want a person to just start bringing in the feeling that he could be happy and it was safe. And so here is one key tip from today's episode, and it's this. It's that if you are struggling with happiness, then picture yourself being happy and that it's safe, or that you'll still get respect or love, and basically training your brain that happiness is a good thing. And this may sound very simple, and it is, but it's also profound. And what I have found is that you have to do things differently than everybody else is doing them to be able to get different results. And so I've compiled like so many different ways to do different little tricks with the mind that help get results. And this is one of those tricks that I want to share with you. You know, that's really ultimately how I help people get results, is because I've learned a lot of tricks working with the mind that help get radical results. And it can even just be little distinctions that make all of the difference. Now, I'm not saying that this is everything, but I'm saying that it's a piece that can help you depending where your mind is and what is programmed into your mind. And of course, it's different for everybody, but it can be a start. So those are a few things to consider when it comes to happiness. Now, the second key factor that you'll want to consider is, of course, life circumstances, because let's be honest, with whatever's going on in your life can definitely affect your level of happiness, but it doesn't have to. Meaning this is that even if things aren't perfect, but you have hope that they will get better, then that in itself can create a state of happiness, even if your life is not perfect. You know, for example, going through my injury, I can tell you that on the days that I didn't have hope, you know, when I didn't think that I was gonna get better and there was no way and my life was kind of over and that whole feeling, I was a mess. You know, those days were dark and they were hard and it was a struggle and I wished that I could just go to sleep and let the day pass, but couldn't really sleep either. I was in so much pain. And so it was a struggle. But on the days that I did have hope, I felt more optimistic, I felt more motivated, I felt determined, you know, and I learned that I had to make sure to get myself hopeful every day. Like, there's got to be an answer, there's got to be an answer. And it was a big difference in my world if I didn't have hope compared to if I did. And that was something that I literally had to make sure every day that I woke up with hope that, okay, there's got to be a way. I can figure this out. My life isn't stuck like this. I can get better. And even though my life wasn't yet better when I first started doing that, it was very helpful. And it helped me get to the next level and the next level. It was pivotal. And of course, by the way, that's the very reason that I do these volunteer episodes where I actually take somebody who is experiencing some type of physical ailment and shift it, because I want to spread hope, because I know how much hope meant to me going through my whole injury. You know, I was up and down for years just being hopeful until I figured it out. And of course, that was regarding my physical injury, but just hope in any area of life is important. Which brings me back to your original question, by the way, where you mentioned that your mom had suffered from depression, and so you were wondering if it's genetic. And a lot of times when people start to go into that mindset of feeling like something is genetic, they feel like there's no real way to fix it. And so that in and of itself can make a person feel a sense of hopelessness. And so you won't want to take on that thought process, because that will create more feelings of depression. And also, whenever I see people who have patterns that mirror their parents, a lot of times what happens is that they actually got them from their parents, so to speak. And I say that, but really, of course, when you start to look at the bigger picture of the spiritual world and past lives and different things like that, I would say what is more true is that that's the reason that you got her as a mother. You know, if you look at past lives and you say, okay, well, you've had 20 past lives or 100 past lives or however many past lives, but if you've had a pattern of depression in past lives, then that energy will manifest into this physical experience as well. And so to manifest into this physical experience, what will happen is that you'll end up with maybe a mother or father who is suffering from depression, because that is the energetic match for you, so to speak. Now, the goal then isn't to say, okay, well, let me go clear it from my past life. Not at all. Instead, you'll want to focus on this life. And instead of blaming your mother or yourself or genetics or anything like that, instead, you'll ultimately want to just feel empowered and take your energy and this lifetime into your hands and really work on shifting it in your mind by working on programming. So there's that. Now, I mentioned having hope and also your life circumstances and really having hope for something better. And so if you are somebody who is wanting to manifest something better, then ultimately what you'll of course want to do is step into that new vision and start getting clear on what that vision is and start really aligning your energy genuinely. You know, you want to remind your mind that if you are in a state of depression, it's not aligning with what it is that you really want. And so you'll want to get your mind to really want to change and to embody that new energy and that new emotion. And again, that of course starts with even hope and belief that you can do it, and then just getting super focused to make the change. And I know I say super focused, and ultimately my truth is that I really feel like everybody should really understand how to program their mind for their life, for their energy, their happiness, their health, their love, relationships. I mean, it's everything. So that, of course, is my ultimate answer, but just trying to keep it simple here. And so the simple answer is I would make sure that you have hope for a better life and a better future. That too is key if your life circumstances are off. And by the way, if you are somebody who is struggling with depression, beyond mastering your mind, which of course, again, I recommend for everybody, I would also recommend listening to episode number 35 if you haven't already. In that episode, there's this young man named Corey who is just, he's such a sweetheart. You'll fall in love with him, and the episode will just make you smile and want to hug him, and it's so uplifting and sweet. And this young man went from being in a really hard place to clearly in love with life, which you can feel clearly. I mean, it just emanates, and it just makes you want to give him the biggest hug. This session is just really uplifting and really sweet. So, all right, bringing everything together, I know the initial question is, what is the number one thing I need to know about happiness? And I would say the number one thing is, no matter where you are, even if you're not quote unquote depressed, to always continue to do things to lift your happiness to the next level. And of course, if you are depressed and you haven't yet heard episode number 35, I'd strongly recommend going and listening to that, and even listening to it a few times, because hope can be so powerful. And again, it's not everything, but it is a huge start, because it can give you the momentum and the desire to want to follow through to create the real change that ultimately transforms your life, so that you can live this life to its fullest. And so on that note, by the way, if you also want to help somebody else live their life to its fullest, I'd strongly recommend sharing this episode, or even sharing episode number 35, or both. You know, spreading more happiness, hope, and joy in this world is such a beautiful thing. And if you know somebody who can benefit from the messages, or even just sharing on your social media to help others out, that would be amazing. You know, the more happy we all are, the better world that it's going to create for all of us. And that will just be beautiful. All right, so it has been such a pleasure connecting with you, and I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. I'll see you there. Thank you for listening to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. All of the time, people reach out and say how much these episodes have given them hope, or touched their heart, or helped them stay positive in hard times, or even woken them up to a completely new level of awareness of how amazing we all really are. If today's episode touched your heart or expanded your mind in any way, please do me a favor and be sure to share it with those you care about, or those you know who really need it. As more and more people become empowered, it really will change our world for the better. That is the point and the power of these demonstrations, is to create a radical shift in our world consciousness by showing everyone what we are all capable of. And of course, each volunteer will really need to follow through to reinforce their programming to maintain their results. But the point is for you to see that you really can create rapid results in your health and your life if you really understand how to use your mind. You're incredible. And I do want to be clear, though, that most people will not get results this fast on their own. I make it look very easy because of the discoveries that I made. You'll want to remember that there's so much more going on in our minds at a deeper level than people realize. That said, if you want to send me any questions or comments, come visit me on my website at brandygilmore.com/podcast. And if you're currently experiencing physical pain and would like to be a volunteer on the show, you can sign up there as well. Lastly, please remember, if you do have any health issues, you won't want to avoid your doctors. Instead, you'll want to continue seeing them and make it your goal to blow their minds with what you're capable of with your mind. Thank you.